Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We especially welcome visitors among us this morning. This is the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. As our days have grown gradually darker in these weeks, our Advent light has grown brighter. Let us even more fully enter the light in our worship this morning.
Let's turn in the hymnal to number 212. 212, O Come All Ye Faithful, and let's stand up to sing.
Isaiah 9, 2-4. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
El pueblo que andaba en tinieblas vio una gran luz. Sí, la luz resplandeció para los que vivían en un país de sombras de muerte.
You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder.
Tú aumentaste el regocijo y acrecentaste la alegría. En tu presencia se alegrarán, como se alegran durante la siega, cómo se regocijan cuando se reparten el botín.
For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian.
Tú quebraste el yugo y la vara que pesaban sobre sus hombros y el cetro que los oprimía, como en el día de Madian.
Let us pray. God of light, we long for your light to break into our darkness. Strengthen us with hope and empower us so that we, like faithful Mary, can be courageous bearers of your light and messengers of your peace and mercy. Amen.
And let's turn to number 189, again in the blue hymnal, 189. To us a child of hope is born, and let's stand up again to sing. And take the purple, sing the story, and turn to number 3. Number 3, and sing the story, Come, Light of the World.
Thank you.
Let us quiet ourselves in the spirit of confession. O God, you search us out and know us, and all that we are is open to you. We confess that we have sinned. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we reduce our preparation for your coming to reckless expense and trivialities, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we dismiss prophets and angels and refuse to nourish your seed within us, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we long for your coming to change the world, and yet are unwilling to change even our own hearts, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we do not make straight paths for justice, nor offer a welcome when you come as a stranger, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. Hold us in your mercy, now and forever. Amen. Please rise and embody your spirit and receive these words of assurance. Because of God's great love and mercy for all, you are forgiven. Live now as people who are fully loved and truly forgiven through the gift of God's grace. And in this spirit, let us offer Christ's peace to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite all children forward for children's time.
Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to see you. Whether you're 20 or last Sunday, we had one. It's always special. So welcome. This is the day before Christmas. And each Sunday in Advent, we've been looking at different nativity sets that represent the birth of Jesus around the world. We had one for Philippines. Second one was Puerto Rico. Thank you. And the third one last Sunday was from Kyrgyzstan. And today we have one from Ghana. So let's get it out and see what they made it out of. Because around the world, people have different materials and different ideas of what Jesus was or looked like. This is made out of wood. So I'm going to get them out here. You can scoot in. Oh, I forgot one thing. Sorry. This is a basket for offering if you brought some money. Because we're saving money, collecting money, to send to a children's home in Benin, Casa Grande. And so we pass it around. If you have money, you put it in. If you don't, you touch it with a blessing. And God will take whatever we give, prayers and thoughts and money, and bless others. So pass that around. Now, I'm going to get them all out, and then we're going to look at them. If you want to come in a little closer and help me set them up, that's okay. You can come in and help set them up, and we'll see what we have and where they go. Come on, Junia. Come on up. Okay. Now, let's look. What do you see? See some things you recognize? I'll put that over here for now. See some things you recognize? Do we have baby Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and well, first of all, this is made out of wood. And pick one of them up and look at it. I don't care which object. Pick one up and look at it. It's carved, a hand carved. Someone made this. So baby Jesus is on a bed of hay, wood, hay. And where's Mary and Joseph? Who has Mary and Joseph? You want to put them there? Okay, we have the characters. Who is Mary?
This one, I have Mary.
And where's Joseph? Oh, here, this must be Joseph. Okay. And who? Yeah, it's a little fragile, sorry.
No, that's fragile.
You don't think that's Joseph? Okay. Do we have wise men?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, wise man one, two. Do we have shepherds? Anyone see a shepherd? What do you have, Junior? A shepherd. No, that's Joseph here. There we go. Sometimes it's hard to tell. You want to put the animals around? Okay. So this nativity scene comes from Ghana in Africa. It's in the continent of Africa. Carved out of wood. What I like about it is not breakable. So it's kid friendly, people friendly, and you can touch it and you can look at it and you can see it. One of the reasons we put nativity scenes up is we see the different materials and the way people celebrate, but we remember the story of Jesus. And tomorrow's the day that he was born, that we celebrate that he was born. And so that's what brings us here this morning. Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. See? So.
I did it once and I was trying to pile it.
Okay, well, you can do that after church. How about that? Okay, it's a deal. So we get together, and we have one more thing that we have. I brought along with me. I think it's kind of beautiful. I went to some elementary school this week, and we made stars. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Silas, you want to hold that star up above the manger scene? Okay. So this represents our Christmas story. Oh, we forgot one more thing. Here. Yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. The star lights up. So it's good to have a little light. Who would like, Junior, want to hold one? Would you like to hold one? There you go. You can hold that light up and shine it, okay, like that. And I think one way, the day before Jesus' birth, it would be good to sing a song. How many of you know Away in a Manger? Okay, well, I don't really sing well, so I'm going to take that off. I'm going to take that off, and he's going to lead us. So I hope the whole congregation helps us. We're going to sing Away in a Manger to remember why we celebrate and why we give presents this time of the year. So let's sing.
Our preacher this morning is one of our pastors, Nelson Crabo, who just returned a few days ago from the Congo. We are grateful for a fruitful trip and for your safe return. Let us pray. God of the Scriptures, open your word to us through your servant Nelson. May your message lead us to greater faithfulness and deeper hope. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, hear the good news. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. A week ago, I was in Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, a huge country in Central Africa that today is beset by the triple maladies of poverty, corrupt government, and civil war. I thank you for your prayers and your support during my travels. I was member of a delegation of four from Mennonite World Conference, one each from Switzerland, Burkina Faso, Congo, and myself from the United States. We were on a pastoral visit to stand with a suffering church at a difficult time. We spent most of our 10 days in Kinshasa, a city of 14 million. If you can imagine a city that size with essentially no stop signs or red lights or the usual things you expect in a city, it was both wonderful and at times unsettling. We hired a driver for a few days to take us on an arduous 8-hour road trip to the city of Kikwit, over 1,000 potholes, to this city of 2 million that is at the edge of the war zone or the conflict zone. There are 450 tribes in Congo, and so you have conflict between tribes and then also conflict over natural resources and some degree of simple insurrection. There at the city of Kikwit, Mennonites have become the first church in Congo to respond to the flood of refugees coming out of the war zone. Some people say it's up to 1 million people are on the move in that part of the country. It's also the zone where Michael Sharp, whom some of us knew in Goshen, died in March when he was there on a United Nations peacemaking mission. Democratic Republic of Congo is, from my Western perspective, a desperately poor country. It has great natural resources, but so much turmoil and inequality that the average daily income is $2 a day. The local people at Kikwit simply do not have the money to set up a tent city for these refugees or to rent dormitories or whatever. So the Mennonites and others in Kikwit have opened their homes. They don't have big houses. They don't have extra space. They've opened their homes to these refugees. And then the Congolese Mennonite Church has set up 5 distribution centers in Kikwit. These are like day centers where the refugees can come during the day for food and as it's available, and also clothing. It was at these centers that our delegation met refugees, hundreds of them. What struck me immediately about these people was that they were women and children. The men largely have been killed. They're the ones that are targeted. So widow after widow told a similar story. Militia fighters swooped into our village on motorcycles. They killed the men and older boys. Sometimes they assaulted the women, and then they burned our houses and they disappeared. Sometimes they burned us, burned our bodies. The details of these survivor accounts are too graphic to repeat in the pulpit. By the end of the day, I was emotionally and spiritually spent. And these survivors will be recovering for the rest of their lives. It was difficult while in Congo to imagine or think that we were close to Christmas. Mostly people that we saw were too poor or too stressed to show what we Westerners think of as the signs of celebration, shopping and Christmas trees or whatever. But during my time there, I did think of Mary occasionally, especially when our delegation met these widows and survivors. One young woman stands out in my mind who told of her husband being killed 8 months ago, who was pregnant at the time, who then walked for months through the jungle, hundreds of kilometers, to make it to Kikwit, who gave birth during that walk, that long trek to the city of Kikwit, and had a beautiful infant in her arms. It is typically men of the world who go to war, to kill, to pillage, and to die. It often is women who carry the long-term burden of building community, of rebuilding community, of keeping the families together, of providing nurture for the next generation. Last evening, there was a vigil here at this church and in the parking lot for victims of gun violence. And one speaker was from an organization called Moms Demand Action. I'm not aware that there is an organization called Dads Demand Action. It's the women who are looking for and thinking for this future and the healing. And given how she spoke revolutionary words in the Magnificat, I can imagine Mary joining Moms Demand Action. She gave birth far from home in a cave barn that was designed for animals at a time when rulers of Judea were known to crucify thousands. Mary wrapped her newborn in swaddling clothes in a country where the king was ready to slaughter all the baby boys in a village to eliminate one who might grow up to become a political threat. Like those refugees in Congo, Mary and husband Joseph fled for their lives from Bethlehem to Egypt. Like millions of people in Congo, Mary and Joseph could not trust their own government to look out for their well-being. So Mary, it appears to me, raised her son to be an activist. Even before Jesus was born, Mary praised God who, quote, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, who has filled the hungry with good things, who has sent the rich away empty. Those are words that should make the rulers of Congo tremble today, maybe some rulers in Washington as well. And it's the kind of spirit that Mary represented that terrified King Herod and the powers of her day. As a mother of the Christ, the liberator of Israel, Mary was destined to carry a particular burden of suffering. When she and Joseph took baby Jesus to be dedicated at the temple, they were too poor to buy the usual prescribed sheep for the sacrifice, so they brought two young pigeons. And at the temple, they met Simeon, who, according to Luke, was looking for the consolation of Israel. That means the liberation of the people. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that Jesus was the long-anticipated liberator. So Simeon blessed this little family and then said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your soul, Mary." A sword will pierce your soul. A modern songwriter beautifully says, "Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Did you know that your baby is Lord of all creation?" Mary, did you know? Did you know? All of that is true. But Mary, did you know that your son would grow up to be ridiculed and rejected and tortured and killed? That he would step right into the middle of the maelstrom of violence in this society to be a peacemaker? Mary, did you know that? I don't understand fully what Michael Sharp was doing in the war zone of Congo, but Mennonites in that country describe him as a gentle and humble man committed to the peace of the nation. The mission in which he died was with a colleague from the United Nations. The two, accompanied by local translators, traveled unarmed on motorcycle into the jungle to meet with warlords and government officials in that conflict zone, inviting them to lay down arms and to work for reconciliation. Our little delegation last week met with a Baptist leader, a Congolese man who had worked closely with Michael. This man had made the trek to Heston, Kansas for Michael's funeral. He described the agony he felt when he was about to meet Michael's parents. How can you explain to parents what happened to their son? But Michael's parents, he said, were gracious and loving. They underscored that they wanted no one in Congo to react to Michael's death in ways that added to the cycle of violence. There is a mother in Kansas who understands the words of Simeon. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your soul also. I thought of Mary 10 days ago when widow after widow told of being forced to watch the slaying of their sons and husbands. Mary did that. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, Mary also was in that huddle in Jerusalem with the other disciples when the Holy Spirit descended upon the followers of Jesus and gave them power and courage and vision to carry the good news of God's healing and hope from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and eventually to Indiana. Mary, did you know all this when the angel appeared to you? Of course not. From everything we can tell, Mary was a humble, ordinary woman who was given an extraordinary role in salvation history. She was a poor peasant girl preparing for marriage. When a divine messenger appeared to her, it was frightening. So the angel immediately says, "Don't be scared, Mary. Don't be afraid." Mary learned that she would give birth to a son who would reign over Israel forever. How could such a thing be, that she, a virgin, would give birth, that a peasant boy from Nazareth would grow up to rule the nations? How could this be? Perhaps questions come to your mind when life sets before you a daunting task, a difficult job, a leadership role, a struggle to keep family and budget together, a sickness, a betrayal. How can it be that God will see you through? The answer that Mary gets is the same that God gives to us. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Nothing will be impossible for God. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Nothing will be impossible with God. Challenges of violence and poverty and corrupt government in Congo often overwhelmed me on this trip. But then our delegation would meet with Christians who were praising God and speaking boldly of salvation. Even when we arrived at the refugee sites, scores of displaced people who had absolutely lost everything, including families, had gathered to sing Christian hymns with enormous energy and joy, sometimes with delirious exuberance. These suffering people facing hardships most of us cannot imagine put faith in God and in the people of God. Sometimes I stupidly imagine that I must save the world or save another person or save myself. Yes, we are to be activists, to act and speak boldly, prophetically, about guns in Elkhart or an ICE detention center next to our city, or bigotry in politics or racism or loss of health care for the poor. But salvation belongs to God, And our first task at Christmas is to follow the example of Mary, who said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Take a moment to think through what challenge preoccupies you this season. Health, relationship, finances, or just the general political mess of our world. And now, as your own prayer, repeat after me. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be with me according to your word. All together, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnal to number 178. Number 178. Thank you.